Radio. You're listening to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast that explores the bold projects, exciting opportunities, and the growing reach of blockchain and cryptocurrency. Whether you've got skin in the game or you're just crypto curious, keep an open mind, enjoy the conversation, and stay CryptoCurrent. Now here's your host, Richard Carthon.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode. Today we have a very special guest joining us here on CryptoCurrent, your host here, Richard Carthon, and we have Amy Wan with Bling. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, of course. Well, before we get too heavy into this conversation today, how about we start off with a little background on yourself?
Yeah, definitely. So I don't think I have the traditional background of a crypto founder. I'm actually a former securities attorney.
Nice.
And I've been, partner at law firms before. I've been general counsels at startups. And so I have, my background has been fintech, securities. I actually spent some time in the federal government as well. But back then I was doing international trade policy. So I come at this with much more of a legal background, I guess, than most other founders.
Yeah, which it's always unique to hear how people got into the blockchain and crypto space in the first place and their backgrounds and then how it's relevant to what they're doing in their everyday lives now. So I was actually going to ask you, like, what was your first introduction into this space?
Oh gosh. So the first time I ever really heard about Bitcoin, it was probably back in 2012. I was working in the federal government at that point and getting really tired of pushing around paper. And so to take my frustrations out on something outside of the workplace, I think I joined like a Coursera course to learn how to code. And they were like, oh, you should build a website and ask people for Bitcoin. And I was like, what is this Bitcoin thing? That was the first time I really heard about it. But I really, started making it my full-time thing back in 2017. Back then I was, an attorney that specifically helped, I would say more innovative fintech companies. Mm-hmm. And 2017 obviously is when crypto was exploding and ICOs were really taking off, and I had my phone was just ringing off the hook with all these people like, I want to do this ICO. And I was like, well, great. You can, you just have to do it in a legally compliant fashion. And no one really wanted to do that, of course. A couple people did, but not many. I started reading the crypto news every day back then. And that's when I started noticing these things about smart contracts. And I, delved deep and thought, hey, in order for smart contract technology to really work, you need a dispute resolution infrastructure. And so that's actually when we started the company. The company started off as Sagewise. It was a dispute resolution infrastructure, legal tech blockchain company. But we didn't really have product market fit. And so about a year ago in May 2019, we pivoted into mobile gaming, because we thought that would have much more traction, much more product market fit. And it's taken off since then.
Awesome. So, okay, let's go there. So you learned first about crypto, Bitcoin back in 2012, then 2017, you're like, okay, how can I turn this into a business? And then, so you start off with your original concept of Bling. Can you just explain, what it was, what were you trying to accomplish, and then speed us up to today, how you've pivoted into gaming?
Yeah. So when we started off, it was Sagewise, right? And we thought, hey, smart contract technology, in order for it to work, you really need to provide dispute resolution infrastructure because, and I don't want to get into the nitty gritty, but, things are not always as black and white as they seem, right? Mm-hmm. But, we had talked to ICO projects, we had even talked to enterprises, and we just thought that smart contract adoption was so far behind that, we were going to need 10 years of funding before we saw it ever become more widely used. And we thought, we could sit here for 10 years, or we could just do something that's more relevant today. So we opted for the latter, and that's how we came up with Bling. Bling is short for Bling Financial. Our website is blingfi.com. And basically, we launched our first game in May of 2019. It was called Bitcoin Blast. It's our version of Candy Crush. But the premise of all our games is, you know, instead of paying money to play games, we will actually pay you money to play our games. So users, we're currently on Android only. They can download our games, and the more they play, whether they win or lose, they are rewarded in Bling points. And usually after about 15 minutes of playing, you can you earn enough Bling points to be able to convert them to Bitcoin. So now we've got three different games. It's Bitcoin Blast, Bitcoin Blocks, which is, you know, kind of like our version of Toon Blast, and then Bitcoin Solitaire, which is, you know, it's a different genre that was through a partnership with Playday Studios. All of our games allow you to earn Bling points. So, you know, Bling is the underlying platform that powers all of this. And my co-founder and I, you know, we come from legal tech and fintech. And so eventually we'd like to be able to offer our users financial products or something like that. You know, our mission, I would say, is twofold. One is we saw that, you know, it was very complicated for a lot of users to own their first cryptocurrency. It's like a 12-step process. You have to convert your local fiat, find a way to convert your local fiat into Bitcoin. Then, you know, depending on what country you're in, you have to, you know, upload your driver's license to AML KYC and all this kind of stuff. And then convert from that to whatever you want. And you have to know how to use private keys and all the security stuff. It was so complicated, right?
A lot of friction.
And you have to even want to buy it in the first place. And most people, like I remember when we embarked on this, I asked my brother, do you own any Bitcoin? He's like, no, it's too expensive. And I was like, you know, you don't have to buy the whole thing, right? But a lot of people don't, they don't know that.
Right.
Yeah. So we thought, hey, what if we onboarded new people onto cryptocurrency by letting them do something fun and earn it? And out of that, our mission has kind of become, you know, I would say, like, how do we educate people about finances and money and kind of reinvent that relationship that people have with money to make it a lot more fun?
Right. Okay, so that is a very interesting take on it, because I was going to ask you, as you're building this out, and I'm sure you're getting some adoption, people playing with your game, and, you know, understanding the reward system of, hey, I play this game, now I can convert this into Bitcoin and what have you. What is the ultimate value prop that you are trying to do, like, with your business? Is it to teach the concept of, hey, get paid for things that you're already doing and have fun with it, and here's how you can get your first taste of cryptocurrency? Or is it like, hey, this is our onboarding ramp of, like, hey, y'all are used to our brand, and by the way, we also do these, like, financial services. Like, what's the journey that you're trying to bring your users on?
I think primarily we are trying to reinvent the relationship that a lot of people have with money. It's usually very anxiety ridden. It's very stressful. We happen to use Bitcoin because we think that currently it's the most sound form of money, especially, you know, especially these days when the U.S. government is printing out, what, like $6 trillion. It's suddenly become, you know, even for people in the U.S., like, a very sound form of money, right? And then, you know, and as part of that whole journey, I feel like we want to form a relationship with our users in which we really educate them and really trying to reimagine, like, you know, what relationship could you have with money? I think there's a lot of traditional financial and even fintech companies out there that try to make it fun, the experience of money fun, but it's still not really fun, right? And we thought, well, how could you get more fun? And really, it's games. People love games.
Yeah. And that is a great insertion point for people to adoption of almost anything. Almost all
our
applications have gamified something, because people like the ability to either play something or to level up or to get some sort of reward, what have you. I mean, you said earlier, like, the idea of, like, Candy Crush, of, like, be able to level up and get all these points to, instead of getting further in the game, now you can like actually turn that into money that you can use in everyday use case. Very unique. And for everyone listening, I check out the game. Like, where else do you know where you can literally go play a game for 15 minutes or for hours on end and get paid in Bitcoin? Like that sounds so cool to me.
Awesome. glad you're excited about it.
No doubt. Well, you know, you've been in the crypto and blockchain space for 8 years now, and there's a lot that has happened. Even like as we look at the world with, you know, COVID and how it's impacting, you know, the future of everything that's going on from a global standpoint and even in the crypto and blockchain space. The first part of my question is, what are some things that you're looking out for and has your attention? And then the second part is, you know, what are things on the horizon that you think people should be paying attention to?
Yeah. So I know this is not necessarily the most sexy answer because everyone wants to talk about these like crazy crypto or blockchain projects, but I spend a lot of time looking at, you know, Square Cash, Robinhood, Coinbase, you know, coins.ph, because, you know, I think for a lot of people, they think, oh, it's not sexy. They're these behemoths in the crypto industry and they've been around for a while and they figured it out. But I think that's exactly why they're so interesting. They've really figured out how to onboard people onto crypto. They have very loyal user bases. You know, every day they're onboarding people onto in a way that I think creates an easier user experience for your average person that's not that technologically savvy. And they're still experimenting and trying out products every day. I mean, they have huge audiences. I think we're pretty big, given our user base, in comparison with other crypto companies. We have, you know, like 1.5 million registered users now, but still we're still pretty small compared to the big guys. And I'm constantly wondering, how do we get there? And, you know, how can we better achieve product market fit with something that people really want? Because at the end of the day, I think that's what makes one of these companies sustainable, is you're offering something that people really want. As for things that are out on the horizon, you know, as a securities attorney, I've always paid a lot of attention to security tokens and all the companies in the security token space. I think it's going to be a while before we, you know, achieve the dream of, you know, a lot of liquidity and all of that kind of stuff through security tokens. But it's really interesting to see what those companies are doing on an everyday basis.
100%. And I think as you talked about like product fit and just thinking about offering things that your end customer like wants to use and makes it sticky and like continues to grow. Yes, we're very early, and for as you look at adoption and finding ways for people to be able to easily pick something up and then share it and anyone can use it, finding something that's very frictionless and just making it very simple, the companies that are able to do that very early in what is the crypto and blockchain space are going to crush it, because anyone that is in this space, and I'm sure you know this too, is you have to believe that, you know, the world of crypto and blockchain is either going to really be something huge or be nothing. And like, we're past the point of it's going to be nothing. So it's established it's going to be something. So if you can create something that is building momentum as mainstream world starts to pick up adoption, you're just going to fly and soar. And I agree that it has everything to do with just making something that is very appealing to your end user and having that focus. So I think that is amazing. The other part of like the security piece of seeing like how not just regulation, but and I was going to reframe a question for you for this was, because you have this expertise in securities, there hasn't been a whole lot of regulatory and things that have passed in the United States about where we're headed of how we want to categorize cryptocurrency and everything else. Where do you think, or what do you think is a realistic potential timeline of when we'll start seeing more and more regulation around like cryptocurrencies and like use cases for it and everything else? Because right now it is completely still the Wild West and they don't want to touch it really.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are already regulations that are there. Whether or not there's very clear guidance, I think, is another question. On the security side, I think that the states and the SEC are they're still trying to figure it out, right? And I think the only reason why they paid a lot of attention to ICOs and digital assets and security tokens 2017 onwards was just because it became so big so fast.
Right.
For cryptocurrency, it's kind of the same thing, right? There are regulations that are in place and they are applicable, though it would be nice to get some more guidance. At the same time, I think that, you know, you will get a lot more guidance and clarity and regulation when you see that there's a lot more adoption, because that's, you know, regulators have a finite amount of time, and they want to regulate or keep an eye on things that are really big, right? And so the bigger it gets, that's how I would expect the regulatory framework to evolve. But I will say that I think perhaps it might be sped up now just because of, you know, everything that's happening in the world. I think it's, you know, for some people who thought, hey, like, you know, I transact in US dollars, it's not a big deal, like our inflation is really slow or our deflation is very slow. That suddenly got sped up a lot more. And I hear nowadays a lot more people thinking, huh, like maybe I should actually park some of my assets in you know, Bitcoin or crypto, just as a hedge against, like, you know, all the money printing that's happening here.
And I would co-sign that. I've had so many of friends and even family of mine who know that I'm actively, like, in the crypto space, that have randomly hit me up and like, hey, tell me a little bit more about, you know, this whole crypto thing, and like, blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh no, it's potentially starting to happen. Which I think is very exciting news for all of us that are in this community. I really do appreciate your time today, Amy. And I, before you go, I always ask my guests before you leave, what is a final thought that you want to leave with all of our listeners here today?
You know, we've talked a lot about devaluation and how, you know, Bitcoin may or may not actually affect people given what's currently happening. And I thought I would leave you with, like, an anecdote of, you know, one of the user interviews that we had pretty recently. And, you know, we looked at, you know, very loyal users of our game and tried to do some user interviews with them. And one interview that we did was with a user who was in Chile, but was originally from Venezuela. He had immigrated to Chile in order to get a job, to send money back to his family. And he basically told us basically about how Bitcoin saved his family's life. He bought Bitcoin when it was $500 and told us that because of that, he had essentially been able to feed his family for 2 years. And now he spends a lot of time trying to collect Bitcoin to send it back to his family so that he could, you know, sell it. And it's kind of his way of making a living. And for me, that narrative was so powerful because, you know, in the US, we haven't really had these problems to date. But when you hear about a story like that, it really affects you. So, you know, I think there really is a lot of potential for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies in the future.
Absolutely. I appreciate that story. And I have one similar of a friend I knew that was out in the Philippines who was taking all his money. And when he would convert it, he would lose, you know, 40%, and it would take a couple of days, but then he was able to keep more of his money by using Bitcoin. It'd take a couple of minutes. And he said that was the foundational proof I needed of, like, oh, I need to pay attention to this. I need to get involved. So I really agree with what you're saying, especially with as bad as things are getting in the US, it's bad internationally with money being inflated and their money going to nothing and them only being able to take out $100 to $200 a day. or even a week sometimes. And so being able to have your own money and be able to make sure that it is being a little bit less inflationary and less spiking up or down, and just being a little bit more consistent, could be a very valuable way for people to have access to funds that otherwise wouldn't be there. So I really do appreciate that final point. And Amy, thanks again for being on our show. What are some ways that people can either connect with you and also learn about Bling?
Sure. So, you know, our website is blingfi.com. And we're on all the different social media channels, you know, Twitter, our Facebook group is pretty active actually. And if users have any issues or questions with our game, we answer every Google review, and we have, you know, a customer support system. So people can certainly write in there, and they can find us on, you know, LinkedIn, TikTok, and all those other things as well.
Awesome. Happy to hear that you're on all that. Especially check out the TikToks. I've always found that people in the crypto space who are on that social have some really unique type of content. So anyway, Amy, again, thank you so much for being on our show. And for everyone listening, stay cryptocurrent.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Cryptocurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency. You'll receive daily emails Monday through Friday that are personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. If you're finding value in our content, please take 5 minutes to leave a 5-star review and a great comment. Also, please make sure to share this podcast with others. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter, with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DeRitterProductions.com. Productions.com.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Cryptocurrent with Richard Carthon. We'll be back with more exciting developments from the world of blockchain and cryptocurrency next week. But until then, stay cryptocurrent.
Please use available exits now.